Praise the Lord. It's getting darker and darker earlier and earlier, isn't it? Praise God. It's like we're having midnight church tonight. Glory. Praise the Lord. But God is good. Amen. God's got so many good things for us. He's got so much for us to get into. You know, as I've been seeking the Lord this week, and just in His presence, you know, I'm just so excited for what He wants to do in me. Amen. And you should all feel the same way, what he wants to do in you, amen? Because God wants to do things in us. You know, tonight we're talking about, the message is actually called Know God Intimately, praise God. And, you know, there's something about our faith that is that seems like it's been lost sometimes. As we do church, as we go to church, as we spend time in our own lives, our daily lives, we forget that God's purpose, foremost purpose, is to have a relationship with us. And that he wants to be intimately acquainted with us. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, I love, we were in some special services this week, and Sister Annie Durant, thank you. I wanted to say DeFrame, but there's another do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it was Sister Annie Durant. She said she was given she was telling about this time that this pastor was in the service and in worship, during the worship part of it, he started having a vision and he saw Jesus walking back and forth through the aisles, amen. And as he was walking back and forth through the aisles, he would stop at people and he would look into their face, and you know, some people were you know, staring off into the distance. Some people were counting the you know, the ceiling tiles and praise the Lord, and some people were worshiping him greatly. And but it was interesting because the pastor was starting to get embarrassed because he noticed these same things, you know. And Jesus spoke to him, and you know, he wanted to apologize for what he was seeing, and Jesus just looked at him very sweetly and said, "I just love my church. I love my church." You know, and that's our Jesus, praise God, is that he doesn't care what we look like when we come in. He doesn't care where we've come from. All that he cares about is us. He cares about our lives. He cares about our hearts. And I'll put it to you this way. If it matters to you, it matters to Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's something that's really good to know. But, you know, we can get so wrapped up in the doing of church or doing of Christianity that we forget that there's a relationship to be had too. And so God wants to, and we're going to see that in the Word tonight, I believe, and I'm going to take you some other places and point some things out. But you know, really, as we focus on God, we learn just exactly what He has for us. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we can't forget that. We can't be people that forget that God has beautiful, wonderful things for us. Experience for us. Amen? Not that we seek an experience. You know, I was thinking about this earlier. If you're a married couple, how would you feel if your spouse only wanted to experience you? They didn't want any time with you. They just wanted to experience you. They just wanted what they wanted, and they didn't want anything else. You know what I mean? Well, that's the way a lot of people come to God. They just want what God has, but so often they forget that God has a personality. God is a being who has great love, and he wants to be intimate with us. Amen? Now, we're going to be talking along the lines of some intimacy, and it may, I'm not going to get too weird or anything on you, but we are going to be talking about intimacy because it's important to realize, amen? But we're going to start, why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9. And I hope you brought your Bibles tonight. I am just, you know, a Bible is a very important thing for a believer. Praise the Lord. You can't be a true believer without a Bible. Amen. You can't be a true believer without a Bible. That doesn't mean that if you don't carry your Bible with you 24 hours a day, you can't be a true believer. What it means is that you can't know everything that God has for you, so you can't truly fully believe everything unless you're acquainted with the Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we're gonna read 1 Corinthians just 1:9. Praise the Lord if you can find that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. You've been called into the fellowship with Jesus. So often, if we're not people, you know, the Bible says to study the Word to show ourselves approved. It's very important that we don't just read the Word, but we study it, that we get into it, find the meat, the marrow, amen? When I was a kid, I used to love when I get... I would get some kind of meat, you know, some kind of steak or something, or when if it had a bone, oh, I got into that bone. I just dug into it. I got into the marrow of it. That's where all the good stuff was, amen? I don't do that so much anymore, but I used to even break chicken wings apart and just get into the anything soft in there, anything I could get down, I'd take it down, amen? But that's what we got to do with the Word, hallelujah. We got to get into all that meat and the marrow. We have to dig in deep, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. No. Yeah, well, I even eat. Praise the Lord. But I just love to get into good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I do with the Word as well. But in the New Testament, and I found this very often, I don't know every time, so I'm not going to say every time, but I would imagine it probably is. But in the New Testament, when it speaks about fellowship, that word fellowship has a real deep meaning. Praise the Lord. It means communion, and that's a real interesting word in itself. I'm not going to go into that. But there's two other words that I thought that were really interesting here that go along with fellowship. One of those words is intercourse. Praise God. One of those words is intimacy. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship is about a connecting. See, God has given us the husband and wife relationship to understand what our relationship with him is supposed to be like. That's why so many people who to the covenant of marriage, and I'm not talking about just someone who gets divorced. I'm talking about people who aren't faithful to it. You know what I mean? People who don't give it everything that they have and just put everything into it. They'll never understand the covenant with God, because the covenant of marriage is very similar to the covenant of God. Our God, intimate God, and I love that word intercourse is in there. And I'm not going to get too graphic because we have some younger ears in here and stuff. But you know, it's the joining together of two things to become one. Hallelujah. That's why God wanted, you know, that's what he intended for marriage, is that a man would and a woman would leave their parents and be joined together, and they would become one flesh. You know, and if you look at your spouse as somebody totally different, you're not looking at your spouse the way God wants you to. Amen. But the same thing is, as an outside entity, you're not going to look at him the way he wants you to look at him. You're not going to understand him the way he wants you to understand him. He wants us to be joined with him. He wants, in fact, so much so, and I don't want to get too far ahead in my message, but so much so that we see this through the Bible, that's what he was always working towards. God always worked to have an intimate, close fellowship with us. And remember, that fellowship isn't just friendship. It's not just, hey, you have a friend over, because you probably aren't very intimate with many of your friends, amen? You may share intimate details or stuff like that if you have close friends, but the true intimacy happens in a real bond, amen? And so we have to understand that's what God is wants with us. And so when we read that scripture again, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is faithful. He sent his Son so that we could enter into something that we didn't have before. He could bring us to a place we couldn't go to before. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of Christians that talk about God, but they don't understand God. They don't recognize God. They've never experienced God. And when I say experience God, I'm not talking about coming to church, hearing a message, going out and doing it and changing your lives. I'm talking about experiencing God, hallelujah. I'm talking about knowing so much that God is real that there ain't nobody that can tell you differently, because he actually becomes real to you. That it's a physical, that God will touch you, that you can feel his actual touch. I'm not using metaphors here. I'm speaking actually about God can touch you, and you can feel that he can, his presence can come upon you and you can know him. You can know that he's there. You can understand what he wants. See, a lot of churches don't experience this because a lot of churches don't even know this. They don't teach this. And I'm not coming to other churches. I'm just saying that there's so much of the body of Christ that doesn't experience God. Amen? Now, the first way to experience God, of course, is through his Word. That's the first place that we get to know God intimately through the Word. When my wife and I, love, hallelujah, my the love of my life, when we first got together, we lived several hours apart. All we had was phone conversation. But you know, in that phone conversation, we spent about 3 months like that, right? About 3 months apart. And we would just talk every night for hours and hours on the phone. I remember I had a really cheap, broken down phone, and the only charger I had was in my truck, and the charger wasn't good. I had to hold it in a certain position for it to charge. You all know what I'm talking about, amen. But I'd be on the phone with my soon-to-be wife, and I was like bent over, because you know I had one of those those coiled cords. You know, it could stretch far, but then it would stretch it out, it wouldn't work. So my phone would be dying, and I'm there talking to her for hours, like in this super uncomfortable position. Amen. But as I was doing, as we did that, we learned, we spent so much of this, and this was actually a blessing to us that we didn't realize, because we spent the first 3 months learning about each other. We talked to each other. We learned about each other. We got into the nitty gritty. We learned everything we possibly could about each other in those 3 months. So that when we had time to come together, we knew who each other were already. It wasn't strange. It wasn't weird, and it was quite comfortable. Well, you know, God's word is like that. That's our learning to God. That's how we connect with God. That's the first place. Because when we get his word, then we get an understanding of who he truly is, what he wants, and the direction he wants us to go. But then he also gives us in his word, he gives us the direction and the ability to get to know him more in a physical sense. Amen? We find out about his Holy Spirit that he's placed on the inside of us. And I just so love this. I don't know how so many Christians do this. But you understand, Jesus died to pay the price, and he said it was better that he goes away. So, because if he went away, he would send the Holy Spirit. And that's why it was better. Now, he told us that the Holy Spirit wasn't just going to come live next to us. You know, everybody's thinking, well, I would just wish I could live when Jesus lived. But we live in the best time ever. God lives on the inside of us. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He's leading us from the inside out. He's living on the inside of us. And he wants to lead us and guide us into everything. What a joy. What an absolute joy. You know, I was talking to a friend today, and we were talking about that. We have this joke in the family churches, because our pastors always say it. You know, you go to your pastor, you got all this stuff. You lay out, yeah, you know, this is what I'm sensing this, I'm sensing this, I'm sensing this. And you know what their answer always is? It's not yes or no. Their answer is always be led. Be led. And so we have this joke in the, my friend and I, we have this kind of this joke that we, well, be led, you know, when there's something tough coming up. And of course, it's joking, but it's also serious, because there's truth to that. But, you know, we get to the point where when you hear be led, you're kind of like, well, I just want to be told, you know. How many of you just want to be told what to do sometimes? I don't want to mess around trying to figure out. I want to listen. I just want to be told. Well, see, this is the thing. God, it's a joy for us if we would realize this, that God wants to live on the inside of us and speak to us from within. He wants to be, like, if you have any doubt that God wants to be intimate with you, think about that. His Spirit came to live inside you. Inside you. He's inside you. Right now, he's there. He's not on the outside looking in. He's not floating around out there in the clouds somewhere. He's on the inside of every born-again believer. Hallelujah. This is why we don't reject the Holy Spirit or reject the idea of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's why we embrace it, and we get into the Word, and we want more of it, because we understand that when he's on the inside of us, he'll guide us. You'll often hear me say this to you. If you ask me any questions or if we're talking about something, I'll often encourage you to seek peace and pursue it, because that's what the Bible says. Peace is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking on the inside of us. This is the greatest thing. If you're a Christian, now there's some requirements here, prerequisites here. But if you're a Christian who is following God the best that you can, you're hooked up to a Bible teaching church, which you all are, praise the Lord, and you're faithful to attend, you're faithful to seek after God, and you're pursuing God, then you can trust that leading on your inside. You can trust it, because we always balance it with the Word, in the sense that if you think that you're being led and it's not doesn't line up with the Word, then it's not right. You know, and then that's why it's good to be able to have a pastor that you can ask questions to, because that's what I do with my pastor. I sometimes when I'm like, well, what do you think about this? And he always answers with the Word, and that's my answer, and that's good. You know, but we have to be okay. Not just okay. We should be excited about being led. That his Spirit is directing us from the inside to move us into things that are just wonderful and glorious. Hallelujah. That's how much God loves us. Amen. Said that's how much God loves us. He loves us so much. He wanted to be like this. This is the thing. Remember, you know, I praise the Lord. I still have the same feelings for my wife. They're even greater than they were. And I'm not just saying that. But, you know, I'm telling you right now, when you first get married, and you know, if you first even in dating and stuff like that, you understand the desire to want to be with the other person, right? To want to be close to them, to want to be just wrapped up, and sometimes you can't even be close enough. You just want to be like welded together. You just feel like you want to be smushed right together. You know the feeling. That's our God. That's our God. Hallelujah. He has that same feeling towards us. That's why we live right. That's why we choose to live right, because we have an understanding that when I'm partaking of something, I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me partaking of that same thing. Hallelujah. That's why I try to do things the best that I can. Amen. Or one of the many reasons. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians 3:10. Glory to God. We have an intimate God. Hallelujah. He loves us. He needs us. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he has that feeling. He has that desire. He's zealous for us, the Bible says. He has that desire to be one with us, to be part of us, to see through our eyes, to do things through us. Amen. See, this is what so many people don't understand, is that the works of God on the earth only get done through Christians. They only get done through Christians. They only get done through Christians who are willing to be led. And this is why being led is so important, because being led will always put us into that right place, that right frame of mind. It'll always take us, you know, your flesh will want to go this way. But being led, if we learn how to be led, then we know that this way is the better way. And that's how we put down the things of the flesh. You know, so many people, you know, we talk about, there's so many people that talk about counseling and different kinds of things like that. And there's, you know, the Bible talks a lot about counseling and the importance of it. But it talks about the importance of doing it right. You have to be with the right, you have to get counsel from the right place. Because if you're not getting counsel from the right place, you're going to go in the wrong direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I bring that up just because, it's a topic of great concern, hallelujah, out there in the world. I remember I went through the whole process, the whole gamut of worldly counseling. And I'm going to tell you, it got me nowhere. They never fully had the answers. They had things that they would try. Amen? But they never had the answers that set me free. It was only when I got hooked up with the Word of God that I truly got set free. The direction of the Lord. Amen? And it doesn't mean you'll be perfect overnight. We have to remember these things. You know, we have to come to God humbly, first of all. Coming to God humbly is never saying, you know, hey, look how good I did, God. But when you come to God, coming to God humbly isn't also saying, God, I'm worthless, no good, you know. That's not coming humbly either. Coming to God is recognizing that you can't do anything without him. Yeah, right. Yeah. And that the only good things that are going to come out of you are through him. Right. That ain't a bad place to be. Amen. But see, here's the thing. If you screwed up, this is what I love about our God, because he's somebody like just a world screw up and a giant screw up. And he can use me because my heart is humble towards him, because I recognize those things. And see, that's all we have to do. We'll never be perfect on this earth. We are working towards perfection, but we won't be perfect here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3:10. Glory to God. Look at what this says here. It says, now that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. But the reason I turned here is to focus on that I may know him. God's desire is that we know him. Amen? You know, in the Old Testament, when a husband and wife came together for the first time, you know what they called it? Knowing each other. That's what they call it. You knew that at that point, you knew your spouse. Isn't that interesting? In fact, I'm going to throw out a little tidbit for you. This is just something that I discovered. You ever heard the phrase yada yada yada? You know what I mean? Yada yada yada. You know, and that this is interesting, but that word, that phrase is kind of a Jewish, it stems from Jewish culture, okay? To say yada yada yada. The word yada is the Hebrew word for to know. Amen. And so when you say yada, 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 you know, or to know. It's free, no charge. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God will make you smart. Amen. But I want to read Philippians 3:10. I want to read this to you in the Amplified Version because it's real interesting. So just pay attention here. Look at this. This is what he's saying here. This is what Paul is saying to the Philippian church. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. My determined purpose. We have to have a sense of desperation for God. Not a bad sense of desperation, like a hopeless desperation, but a sense that I just cannot be complete without knowing everything I can know about my God, about my Heavenly Father. I'm never going to be complete on this earth until I am so saturated with His presence, until I understand everything, until He can move me with just a little brush of a feather, praise the Lord. My determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become, and it just explains it more, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. And that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers. See, this is very, very important, this part here, to understand that there was power in the resurrection. It flows out of the resurrection to believers. His power is still as active today as it was 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. It's a little bit unused. People aren't tapping into it, but this is what God has for us. This is when we say we put all the whole of our leaning, of our understanding on God. When we don't know, this is why, you know, so many people, I'm going to help you here, praise the Lord. So many people try to carry the cares. I could point to several, probably many of you, maybe even all of you, and I could point to situations where you tried to carry it. But see, we're not supposed to carry it. God is the one. But see, so many people don't understand. See, we read these scriptures. In every church, they read this, cast your cares on the Lord. Any church will tell you this. Any pastor will tell you this. But the difference is, there's a lot of people. I remember going to somebody who was in a denomination, very strong religious denomination, and I said, this is what the Bible says. And she said to me, yes, I know that's what the Bible says. But it hasn't worked. See, doesn't know, never been acquainted with God, never learned how to get into that place, into that flow where God is just flowing through them and out of them. Praise the Lord. It starts in here, and as we through the Word and through being taught the Word, praise God, as we learn how to tap into that and get into that, then we start understanding God more and more and more. Listen, I don't stand here today because I'm some highly educated individual. I stand here today because the Lord has worked things into me through the knowledge of His Word and being acquainted with His Spirit. And as that's happened, my life has changed. I know the answers I need to know. Do you know it's interesting? I've sat down in many counseling appointments, and the people have started talking. And sometimes I'm glad for people to talk a little bit. But people start talking, and when they start talking, I have no idea how to help them. But see, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me does. And the office of the pastor knows, because God's placed that on me, and it all works together, amen? And so I know things that I didn't know before. But that's what all Christians have. That's what all of us have the access to, the ability to get into. And yet so many, all they do is they focus on the problem. They focus on how hard it is. And just instead of just, you know, I love there's one disciple, John, who it said he was kicked back with his head resting on Jesus. Because he knew. Now, of course, we can use that metaphorically today, but we can still rest on the Lord. Just because He's gone, He's given us the Spirit that causes us to rest on the inside of us. And so we can get into that flow, we can get into those things. But see, there's so many people that don't know this. Why does it work for some and not others? Because some work it according to the Word. See, if you do things according to the Word, it's not enough to just be taught the Word. You must also put the Word to practice. If you don't put the Word to practice, you will never have what God has for you. You can't. It's an impossibility. You cannot separate God from His Word. That's why Christians who do things according to the Word, they're successful, they prosper in all areas of life, and Christians who don't, they don't. That's why you can see Christians that live just like everybody in the world. And they say, well, that stuff doesn't work. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. I heard of a Christian today, a Christian who was a Christian teacher. And they were talking with their children in the classroom about miracles that came, the question came up. And they were talking about specifically when Peter cut the ear off one of the guards and Jesus healed him, put his hand on his ear, and his ear grew back. Amen. And, they said, yeah, God did miracles like that. That happened. They said, but God doesn't do miracles anymore. There's a lot of religions that believe that, denomination. And listen, if I'm teaching you that that God doesn't do miracles anymore, then what hope do you have to believe God to heal you? What hope do you have that you don't have any? And that's why the church looks the way it is. Because honestly, and this is the truth, the majority of the Christian church doesn't believe in that. They don't believe in real miracles. They pray from the standpoint of maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, but I don't really know. God may answer me if he feels like, if it's in his divine will. Well, praise the Lord. That's the truth. It is sad. And that I may, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Amen. He's so good. He loves us so much. So much. Hallelujah. We're going to go back to Jeremiah. We're going to go to chapter 3. Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet. Praise the Lord. I got to find it here in my Bible too. Praise the Lord. Right after Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 12 through 16. Praise the Lord. Now, this Sunday when I was in Jamestown, I got to in Sunday school, and I taught on the office of the pastor just to help those people out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just to teach them what the office was really for. And these scriptures I came to, I shared these same scriptures, but you know, it's so awesome because you can get so much out of just so many scriptures, you know. So Jeremiah 3:12. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. Backsliding is somebody who was once going after God and now is backing up. They're called backsliding or backslidden. Amen? And it applies today. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Only acknowledge your iniquity. And see, there's a lot. This is the danger where there's so many people that teach that you do what you want to do because you never come to a knowledge of sin. When you're not corrected, you don't know sin. And if you're not corrected on something, I know my wife preached a message. It was a really awesome message this Sunday, a really corrective message this Sunday. But you know something? The Bible is very clear that we need to do that. And we're not wrong for doing that. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest thing to do as a pastor. But it's a good thing to do because that's what keeps the church clean. That's what keeps people going in the right direction. Without the correction of the Lord, through the ministering of the Word, we would not go in the right direction. Now, I know how it feels when we get corrected. It's not always a fun thing, but correction is needed. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we can't be babies about it. There's many people that be babies and just want to, like, you know, there's people that would... Jesus saw it. He said some things that were really, really hard for people to swallow, and most of the people left him. And he turned to, I love this faith. I wish I had this faith. But he turned to the disciples and he said, aren't you going too? He's like, we'll just start all over fresh right now, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that takes faith to do that, but praise God. Glory to God. I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. Now, this is interesting here. You have scattered your charms. Basically, you're taking what is precious to you and you're giving it to other gods. Even precious to God, giving it to other gods. And when he means other gods, he means anything that you lift up above God. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what he's saying here. There's so many people that even tonight, there's so many people that could be here but aren't here because they're off given, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking, again, we got to always balance things out. We're not talking about people, you know, taking time off and stuff like that or taking vacation and stuff like that. Everybody's got to do those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, and we'll probably run on this until the end of time, until Jesus comes back. But people who spend more time out of church than in church, they're just proving that they don't love God and they're proving they don't love their church. Because coming to church is not just about you getting what you need when you need it or when you want it. Coming to church is about coming together and being intimately acquainted with God and what's most important to Him, His body. His body. Because each body has a part to do, or each body part has a part to play. Each body part has something to do. And if the body isn't congregating, or if the, my wife talked about that, what if half of you didn't show up? You know, like your body. What if a third of me wasn't here? It would look weird, you know. Praise the Lord. And that's an important thing. We can't get into what God wants fully unless we're coming together as a complete body. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Now you understand this. And even back then, and God's doing it today, His voice, you know, God will speak to us audibly at times, but very, very few. But His voice always comes through His ministers. The people who He has put, raised up and put at the forefront. At different times it was priests, at different times it was kings, at different times it was judges. It was different things throughout the years, but it was always God's anointed person for the hour. Hallelujah. That's how He spoke to the earth. You know, so many people hate that. They hate the idea of listening to what a man says, but that's the way God designed it. That's the way God designed it. So you can say everything you want about God, but until you're okay with the way He designed it, you're not okay with God. This is what people don't get. You cannot reject the one that God has raised up and placed there and what they're saying and still be a king of the Lord. You reject Him when you reject what He sends. Amen? They did it with Jesus. The same exact thing. They did it with Jesus. In fact, they said that they killed the prophets. They did. These prophets, a lot of these prophets died. They went after them. You know, Elijah had to go into hiding because the word of the Lord came to him and he spoke what God said to speak to the people. And they hated him so much for it, he had to go into hiding so he wasn't killed. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That's why I'm working on packing heat. So ain't none of you gonna come up to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good, amen? He gets the truth to us, amen? Praise the Lord. Really, what that's called is that's a form of offense. If you feel hurt, if you feel angry, if you feel any of these emotions, it's offense. It's called, what's called offense. And the Bible says that a brother offended is harder to win than a barred castle, amen? Yeah. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Look at that. I am married to you. I will take you from one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Praise the Lord. Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days. Look at that. It shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased. Why? Because I've given you a shepherd to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I've given you the purpose, one of the greatest purposes. Praise the Lord. You know what? I'm going to just share the scripture. Mind if I share a scripture? Might be a little bit off topic, but it applies to right now. Hallelujah. Can I have my phone? I'm going to do it off of there because I got everything set up here just the way that I do. You guys probably haven't noticed, I've been using a regular Bible lately, and this happened to me in Jamestown, and it's happened to me here today. I actually have tried to scroll on my regular Bible page several times while I've been standing up here. Praise God, yeah. Praise God. I think it's, let's see, is it 2 Timothy? I think it's... Yep, it's 2 Timothy 4, starting in 2, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified. I want to read these to you. Listen to this. This is 2 Timothy 4, 2 in the Amplified. This is instruction to a pastor. Herald and preach the word, exclamation mark. Praise God. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand, and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. Pastor Jeff, will you come preach here in Jamestown? Might not be favorable, but that's what, you know, in the sense the opportunity might not be the right time. or you know what I'm saying, just anything. I'm not saying that it wasn't, but you know, I'm just using an example of maybe you're called away and you have to preach somewhere else, and sometimes that happens. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, ooh, praise the Lord. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Wow. And convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having itching ears, listen to this, this is so important, having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. Praise God. That's the truth of the word. Now, that was written a couple thousand years ago. But doesn't that apply today? Amen? There's so many people, yeah, I don't like what that church is saying. They're preaching a little too boldly there. I'm going down the road where they don't preach so loud or preach so bold. Yeah. If it's the word and if it's where you're called, then you better just stay where you're at. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where was I? Back there. Jeremiah 3:16, okay. Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increase in the land in those days, says the Lord. Oh, I know, that's why I said it. That they will no more, they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it shall not come to mind, nor shall it shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. How many of you guys have seen the ark of the covenant? How many of you guys on a weekly basis, a daily basis, how many of you guys at all have thought about the Ark of the Covenant? Do you know what the Ark of the Covenant is? Hallelujah. A lot of people don't. Why? This scripture is being fulfilled right there. The Ark of the Covenant was before Jesus came, back in the Old Testament, after the Israelites came out of Egypt, praise the Lord instructed Moses to build an Ark of the Covenant. And it was this thing. Have you ever seen Indiana Jones The Raiders of the Lost Ark, you remember that movie? That is what the Ark of the Covenant was. Amen? The whole movie of that whole basis of that movie was that they found the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant had the power of God on the inside. The Spirit of God was on the inside of it. The power of God was there. Amen? There was one time they even had to carry the Ark a certain specific way. And if they didn't, they would die. There was one man, they were carrying it wrong. One man, the Ark started to tumble over. One man went just to reach for it to keep it from falling, but because the whole thing was out of order, the man touched it and instantly dropped dead. The power of God was in it. But see, now when they built the temple, what they did was they had this place on the very innermost part of the temple called the Holy of Holies. And the only one who could go in there were the high priest, only once a year that could they go in there. And this is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, was inside this temple. I'm building to something, so this is why we're going down this road, because the scripture applies and it matters. So the power of God, the priest would go in once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. And the way he went in there was like this. They had bells on his ankles, and they had a rope tied to his leg. Because when he went in there, if he wasn't right when he went in there, he would drop dead. And they had to have something to pull him out so he didn't stinketh. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. So that's literally why they did that. Amen. So once a year, the priest would go in there and would. How would you like to be that priest? Well, I tell you what, you'd be cleaning yourself up real good right before you go in there. Like, did they do this? Did they do that? You know. But and there's a lot of understanding that. So I just think God's just trying to kill people or anything like that, because that's not what was happening there either. But the point was, the power of God was in there. Okay, and there was this veil to the Holy of Holies that was like a giant curtain. Amen. And one of the things that happened when Jesus died on the cross is there was a great earthquake, and that veil was torn in two. And God no longer was going to be inside an Ark of the Covenant. The power of God, the Spirit of God, was no longer in the Holy of Holies, because he replaced the Holy of Holies with the Christian believer. This is where the Spirit of God, this is what Jesus is just saying. I just got filled with, just glory to God, hallelujah. See, what happened was is that God came and he's like, now I'm bridging the gap. I finally can get inside my people because now I don't have something separating us anymore. Their sin doesn't matter anymore because now it's covered by the blood of my precious son, which is the only thing that could pay for it. And it happened at the perfect time. But he did that so he could come be on the inside of us. The power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of every born-again believer. And if it raised Christ from the dead, brought him out of hell, and seated him next to the Father, I'm going to tell you, your problem ain't too big for the Lord. Your problem isn't too big for the Spirit. There's something that's inside you that can take you somewhere else. And see, this is the kind of preaching and teaching people need to hear. People need to understand these things. They need to understand what God was doing. Praise the Lord. Praise God. John 14, 20, just go ahead and look up here, 21 says, at that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. See, when Jesus was speaking these words, that veil was still up. The Holy of Holies was still intact. The Ark of the Covenant was still behind the curtain, praise the Lord. The power of God still hadn't come upon his people yet. But Jesus said, at that day when I leave, and the Holy Spirit comes. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. He who has my commandments and keeps them. See, there it is again. He has my commandments and keeps them. He has my commandments and keeps them. That means he does what he says. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Glory to God. God wants to manifest. This is his desire. He waited thousands of years to the perfect moment that he could send his son and pay the price so he could manifest himself to each one of us. Hallelujah. People talk about living for God back then. Oh, I wish I lived in biblical times. You live in the most biblical times that there is. You need to be excited for the times you live in, because now God lives on the inside of you. And I'm going to take it one step farther. In 2017, we are in 2007, the year 2017, God wants to renew this idea, this knowledge in his church, and this is why it's starting to bubble up. This is why the revival is starting to happen. But before the revival can come into full, he's got to get his people understanding his desire, and his desire is for his people. Jesus loves his church. He looks at each and every single one of you like the most precious commodity that there is. There is nothing that is more precious than Jesus, than you right now. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you and he loves you most, and you need to know that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Look at this, and this is why the people don't get it. Praise the Lord. And I'm just going to throw this out there. My sister Trisha and I had some conversation today, and this is why some people don't understand the conversation that we were having. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now understand that word perishing. It doesn't mean that if somebody isn't connected, if they're not hooked up, they're perishing. Every day, there's no hope in their life. You understand? There's no hope except through our Lord. That's the only place that there is hope. You understand? So to those that are perishing, the message of the cross, what is the message of the cross? That Jesus was going to pay the price to bridge the gap so that we could have God come live on the inside of us. Salvation is not just for when you die, it's for right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But to us who are being saved, it is the power. The message of the cross is the power of God. Hallelujah. If you have never experienced God, then you can understand why someone would follow. You can't understand why somebody would follow him so closely. So many people won't get what we do because they've never experienced God. They've never had God invade their space. They've never had hands laid on them and been filled with the presence of God. They've never gotten to know God on an intimate level. They've never known these things. It's foolishness to them. If you've never experienced God, you can't understand it. It's foolish. That's why the world looks at us like we're fools. And listen, you all know you came out of that world. There was a time when you looked at the message of the cross and thought it was foolishness. Why? Because you just saw Christians. You didn't see the truth. You didn't understand God has. But that, this is why it is so incredibly important that we show the world what that is. That we show the world what it is like to have God living in them and through them and directing them and guiding them. That's why when Christians don't have hope in their speech, the world doesn't know. We have to speak with the hope that's in the Word. That we know where we're going. I may not know where I'm at, but I know where I'm going because I got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me taking me there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's some of you in here that even this week you've been becoming more acquainted with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you that as you become increasingly acquainted, it gets better than even that. Because then you start to, things stop being vague and just, maybe I should do this. And sometimes there's the voice of God in your ear. Sometimes there's a, go do this. Sometimes there's it fills you and you know you have to do this. And then you go after it. That is what God wants to get us to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So many people come to God simply for help. And there's nothing wrong with coming into the church for help. There is nothing wrong with coming to the church when you're lost. That's what people need to do. But for dear Jesus, if you stay at that place where you only are ever just coming to get your help, you completely miss the whole point of all this that God is doing in us. God doesn't just want you to come in and get help. He wants you to understand that you come in, you get help. Praise the Lord, it's over. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Your past doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters is what you do from here on out. And if you do it according to the way God has, He's going to increase you and increase you and increase you to the place where you could have never even imagined. Hallelujah. This is what God wants to do. But so many people, they're like, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good today, so I don't need to go there. I'm just going to go do this instead. They miss the whole point. Church is the most important, the local church is the most important thing to God. Therefore, the local church is the most important thing to a Christian. A Christian who cannot understand that. The most important thing. It's above everything. It's above family. Yeah. People hate me for saying that, but it's the truth. It's above family. It's above friends. It's above jobs. There is nothing that will take me out of the local church. That will divide my connection with the local. Nothing. I won't let it happen. Praise the Lord. Because the power of God is here. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're doing pretty good here. 2 Peter. Go ahead and go to 2 Peter. Praise God. You know what? It's getting better too. Hallelujah. Because God ain't done with us yet. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Peter. And go just right to the beginning there. I came here this afternoon, 2 Peter, to get one verse. I ended up bringing 13 of them because I couldn't stop with one. Amen? That's the truth. Came here. Praise the Lord. Hope I remember it when we get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So this goes to all of us, right? I mean, we know the Bible's written to all of us, but in case you had any wonder, this is right for you. Amen. Glory to God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to say something here. It's very important. I believe it's in, I think it's in one of the Timothys. But there is a scripture that says that all scripture is given to us by inspiration of God. So we understand that all scripture that is written was given by inspiration of God. Peter didn't just write this because he wanted to. Peter didn't write this because it was a good idea. Peter didn't write this just because he was bored one day. Peter wrote this inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it says that every scripture is good for our teaching, our learning, our reproof, praise the Lord. This is exactly what this is. This is God's heart towards us. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord. If you have the true knowledge of God, what you get here, all time, praise the Lord. And when we, you don't get it because I'm so awesome. You get it because this is the way we've been taught. Praise the Lord. God's passed it. See, this is how God does. He passed it down to me. Now he's passing it down to Mayville. Now he's passing it down to Corey. And you're going to take it out and pass it down to your families and your friends and your coworkers and the rest of the world. Praise the Lord. You're going to pass it down to the people at Walmart, at Tops, wherever you are. Hallelujah. See, this is what God is trying to get his knowledge out there. Amen? Because grace and peace are multiplied in that place of knowledge. Hallelujah. As his divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
All things. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means that God's put everything in you. Everything that you need is on the inside of you right now. All you got to do is tap into it. Everything that you could ever need, everything you could ever desire, it's on the inside of you. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I desire a new house, and I know I ain't that big. Oh, the seed is on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. What will you do with it? That spirit speaks to you and tells you how to see, this is knowing our God. You see, as we know our God more, as we get more intimately acquainted with him, that we understand that there's no way on earth that God could remove from us. We understand these things. See, this is why I'm so convinced of it. This is why I preach the same things over and over and over again. I'm convinced of the Word of God. I'm convinced in the truth that he loves us so greatly and gave us his Son that he would give us all things. Hallelujah. As his divine power has given to us all things pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now look at this, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Yeah. This is the scripture I was after today. That through these, through those promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be partakers. A partaker is not a bystander. A partaker is someone who partakes. It's someone who's getting into it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I remember there's times where I was serving, and there was minister dinners and in the Jamestown Church when we had guest ministers in and there were minister dinners, and I was serving. Praise the Lord. Food would come by me, and there's some good cooks in there that cooked that food, and it would come by me, but I would have to be observe and just watch it go by because I was not a partaker. I wasn't invited to the dinner. Amen? But see, there was a day when I became a pastor, and then they started inviting me to the dinners, and then I started to partake. Hallelujah. That means I got to sit down at the table. That means I got to get into the things. I got to get into the cookie jar. Hallelujah. I got to sample what was on the platter. Amen. That's exactly what God wants to do in us. He wants us to be partakers of the divine nature. The partakers of the divine. You know what the divine nature is? The divine nature speaks you into existence. The divine nature spoke everything you see into existence. The divine nature kicked the devil out of heaven and said, get out of here. You have no place here. Hallelujah. The divine nature beat death, beat the cross. Hallelujah. Beat hell. The divine nature beat the sick. Not literally, you know what I mean? But beat it. Beat sickness. Beat disease. It beat lack. The divine nature walks on water. Hallelujah. The divine nature calls angels to do their bidding. Do you know that? Jesus was on the cross and he said, he knew if he wanted to, he could call a legion of angels that would come rescue him in an instant. All Jesus had to say on the cross is, Lord, or he just had to call out to him, come get me. I'm done with this. He could have let us all perish, but he didn't. He could have called a legion of angels. Why do I say that? You're a partaker of the divine nature. You have that same right. Do you send your angels out? I don't even know about that. Praise the Lord. The beginning of Hebrews says that they're ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will receive salvation. That's you and I. That means you can say, hey, angel, there's so many angels who sit around so bored they don't know what to do with themselves. Looking at us, the Bible says they look at us in amazement. I believe that one of the reasons they look at us in amazement is, well, why the heck aren't they doing what God told them to do? We're standing here. God's given you angels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Wow. Praise the Lord. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Man, exceedingly great. I think about what exceedingly great is. I think about what great is. Great would have been good enough. But God wasn't good with great. He wants exceedingly great. You ever have a child that you love? Yeah. You ever had somebody that you love so desperately that you would have done anything that would stop you from doing something for them? Praise the Lord. I want you to think about this. Praise the Lord. Just on my heart to tell you, Denny and Becky, you know how much you love that precious Gemma? It's nothing compared to the way God looks at you. Nothing to the way compared to, you know, you understand that. But it's nothing compared to the way God looks at you. You're a partaker of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I could look at each one of you, but the Lord pointed out them to me in my spirit right then. So that's why it's good to listen to His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. He's seen, you know, God will bless you today for what you'll do 10 years from now. If He knows that you'll be faithful, praise the Lord. God lives outside of time. It doesn't matter. There's no time in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't our God good? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But I didn't want to stop there because there's a lot. There's a bunch more in here that's really good. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. You're supposed to add this to yourself. And to brotherly kindness love. Praise the Lord. For if these things, if those things, what things? Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. You be diligent in what? What's your call? What are you called to? Well, first of all, you're called to a local body. You make that sure. You're called to the presence of God. You make that sure. You make sure you know that. You make sure you understand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. That's my job too. As long as I'm in this tent, praise the Lord, hallelujah. As long as I'm in this tent, I'm going to remind you of God's goodness, because that's exactly what Peter did. Amen? Praise the Lord. People complain about the way God wants to use them. They will complain about the things that we preach. They will complain about the things that we bring up. We bring up things like tithing, which is hard on the flesh. They'll complain about this stuff. They'll complain about serving, because we'll bring that up. Because it's hard on the flesh. They'll complain because the pastor preached this or the pastor preached this out of the word. And the entire time, it is God's method of getting blessing into your life. That is the doorway into your life. You want the blessing of God. People want healing of God. And yet they look at the things that God has said that the pastor preaches and they reject it. And they get into offense and they don't realize that they're not being offended at the pastor. They think they are. They think they're getting offended at the... But what they're getting offended at is God's way of getting blessing to them. God opens the door of blessing through the things that He directs through His Word every single week when we preach it. Listen, there's people. We brought this up. It's when my wife told me on Sunday that there was 45 people here, I about had a conniption fit. I'm telling you right now, and it was holy anger. I'm telling you right now, I was ticked. I sent out the text message the next day. I had to wait until the message was posted. And I was very, very clear about that. Now listen, there's some people, you know, I understand if you were dealing with a sickness or something. I understand there's times like that. This only applies to you if you pretty much, like none of you, right? This only applies if you're not hearing that message. You know what I'm saying? Or hearing this message or whatever. But I was ticked because it's like we We don't do this. If anybody thinks that we do this for some kind of personal gain, they're absolute fools and have no idea of anything that goes on here. There's a lot of people that believe that. But if you don't understand what God wants to do in you, if you don't understand that what's being preached is to save people's lives, it is to get help to people. It is so people don't live the way that they always live. There is no other answer other than the Lord. And there's no other answer other than the way that the Lord has put things. But like I said, summer comes around and people get lost. My pastor told me this. He's like, there's different seasons you can bank on that people just won't, they'll be unfaithful. A nice day, praise the Lord, but a nice day will keep people from getting what God has for them. Do you know how many nice days? You know, I said to my wife, we were leaving Corey Saturday, right? Beautiful night. We were leaving Corey Saturday. I said, you know how many nice days we give up for the Lord? Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter because there's more in the abundance of God than what one nice day can get you. And if you're so short-sighted that you can't see that, you're going to perish with the rest of the world. You're just going to go without. You will always live paycheck to paycheck. You will always live sickness to sickness. You will always live with what God has for you because you won't simply put down your own flesh and do what God wants you to do. God wants a closeness with people, but people don't even understand what closeness with Him means. You talk about being close to God, they have no idea. We talk about we want revival, we want to see Jesus come back, we want to see Him usher in the next great revival. We are on the cusp of it, but people have no idea what it is. Why? Because they're so consumed with the world that they can't see the things of God. They can't see that God wants a relationship with them. That He desires to live in them and be part of them. That He desires to saturate them. Do you know what saturate is? Hallelujah. He wants to saturate with His goodness. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. We went to a restaurant last night. And we were sitting there eating. And they had this homemade bread. Praise the Lord. It was good homemade bread. But then they put some homemade gravy on it. And that homemade gravy just soaked in there and saturated that bread. And you know what? That bread, you're like, man, this bread couldn't get much better until you put that gravy on it. And glory to God, hallelujah, that was saturated with gravy and it was so much better. Oh, man, I'm just thinking about it all day. I just want more of it right now. Saturated with gravy, hallelujah. God wants to saturate us with gravy. Holy Spirit gravy, hallelujah. Holy Spirit gravy won't make you fat, glory to God. Holy Spirit gravy won't raise your cholesterol, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love Holy Spirit gravy. Hallelujah. That's right. You like mushroom gravy? Yeah. As long as it's made from mushroom meat, not animal meat, praise the Lord. We're getting close to closing here, but let's go to Psalm 63. I want you to see this here. We're talking about being in the presence of God, being saturated with God, being full of God. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't randomly shout out once in a while, at least, if you don't randomly shout out once in a while, God, you're so good. You have no idea. You have no idea. Because I'm telling you what, I'm not a vocal person, just generally speaking. Like, I'm not the person who likes to praise and worship and all that stuff. I'm not the person who likes to be bold and dance and all that stuff in front of people. I'm not that person. But I'll tell you what, in front of a whole church full of people, I jumped up and danced when the preaching was good the other night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll saturate you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 63, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read 8 verses. Praise God. Hallelujah. I put this note at the top of my Bible there at Psalm 63. I said, be enraptured with Him. Be enraptured with God. See, David understood this. This is a Psalm of David, and he understood this. He understood the presence of God. He understood His goodness. He understood God's greatness, His exceeding greatness. Amen? Amen. Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Praise the Lord. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary. I put this there too. I put even so. because just to remind me that that's what he's talking about. As in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, I've sought you, I've thirsted for you. See, he's trying to explain this overwhelming desire to know the presence of God. And you want to know something? David couldn't know it like we do. David didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. David would have given anything. He would have given all the riches. He would have given all the lands. He would have given all the kingdoms to be able to experience what you and I experience. He'd do it for one day. For one day. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in the presence of God is better than 1,000 anywhere else, doing anything else. That's what he said. Amen? He couldn't know the Holy Spirit. And we, what do we do with the Holy Spirit? Think about him once in a while. We, you know, sing songs about him. But do we know his presence? Do we know the filling of the Spirit? Do we know what it's like to be saturated with God? It only comes by hunger. It only comes by desire and thirst. And just being not, it's not enough to not go without or to go without it. It's not enough to not have it. If I live this life and I don't know the very presence of God, then I've wasted my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. To see your power and your glory. Hallelujah. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Look at, understand what he's doing. He's just pouring out his heart to God. Have you done that lately? See, if Christians would start pouring out their heart to God, they would start experiencing him on a level that they've never known him before. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits, he's in them. Praise the Lord. If you feel like you need God on you more, then start praising him. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. You know, I think about the Lord all the time. I think about God. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? God, where are you in this? What, you know, I just think about God, 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 God. I just want to, that's a person who thirsts for God. Amen? And I don't thirst for him enough. I mean, I got to stir myself up in this way. Praise the Lord. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. See, what David's talking about here, he's talking about, even talking about the protection of God. He's talking about the ability, the power of God. See, people don't see it because they don't feel about God the way that God, the way David did. You know, People, and the Bible says that David had a heart after God's. So even though he wasn't perfect, David did so many horrible things, made so many mistakes. Oh, dear Jesus. Do you know David had a man killed so he could sleep with his wife? Yeah. This happened. A man after God's own heart. I'm not suggesting do it. But I'm just saying, use that when you think that you've done so bad that you can't be forgiven. When you think you screwed up so much that you can't get past it. Think about that. You ain't been so bad yet. You know what I mean? Because God still, he said that he had a heart after, why? Because he sought after God. He was imperfect, but he sought after God. See, if you're waiting to be perfect before you seek after God, you missed it. You'll never get there. God wants you to come as you are. He wants you to just love him. But you think, again, as a husband and wife or a child, what if your child only came to you when they wanted something? How horrible does that feel? No, well, what about if the kid just wants to spend time with you or your spouse just wants to spend time with you? You know, I love my wife so much, and there's just times where we just want to just sit next to each other. We just want to hug each other. We just want to lay there together and talk. We just want to, there's times where we'll go to bed and we'll just lay there and just talk because we just love each other for no other reason. And see, that's what God wants with us. If you're waiting for a spouse, if you're without a spouse, and that's something you desire, then make it with God. Make that acquaintance with God. Get to know him on that level. I'll tell you, he'll bring that stuff to pass. But saturate yourself with him because he'll fill that void. He'll fill that loneliness if you learn how. Amen? Praise the Lord. And glory to God. We're going to close here in James 4:8. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love the book of James. God, you have to understand that God so desires his people to come after him. Yeah. He so desires his people to want him, to just long. You know, there's times where I haven't wanted it at all, and I've turned to God because I've known the knowledge of the Lord. I've turned to God, and I've just been, Lord, I want to want you more. Go to God and say that. He'll honor that. I want to want you more, God, because I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be pleasing to you. You know, there's many times in the flesh you don't want to do any. Listen, if there's anybody who understands the flesh, I understand the flesh. Let me tell you, it's a sign and wonder I stand before you every day. Every time I do, it's a sign and wonder. I just want to do what the flesh wants, and that's all I want to do. But see, there's times where you just have to realize that you have to get yourself out of that. The only thing that stops the flesh is the flesh. Praise the Lord. So James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's the most important part there. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. As you take a step towards God, he's going to move towards you. And you may not see it right at first. You may not feel it. But the word says it, so you can believe it. And if the word says it, it's true. And so you take that step, and you move towards God, and you allow God to move towards you. And then when you can, you take another step towards him. This is how we are perfected. We don't come in perfect. We don't live perfect, but we live toward perfection. Yeah. We allow God to work in us as we step towards him. He'll step towards us. Amen. Praise God. He wants to saturate you. He wants to move on you. He wants to know you intimately. He wants you to be known. He wants you to know him intimately. God desires these things for you. He desires these things for all of us. So why don't we move in those things? Why don't we move towards that place and get to know God, that when we, you know, there'll be a time where we'll come into the sanctuary, if we're still here, or if, you know, we don't build another building, whatever God has for us. But there'll be a time where we'll come in here, and the power of God will be so thick we won't stand. You watch, mind my words, they'll happen. It'll happen. They'll be so thick that we won't even be able to stand. There'll be times in the presence of the Lord that we'll have together where we won't even, you've experienced a little, many of you have. But I'm telling you, it's coming. A greater level is coming. Hunger and desire for God. Stir yourself up in those things. Let God move on you the way that he desires. And watch how greatly he fills you. Praise the Lord.